Okay, so Perek Bet Alchavav Cheresh veCharesh Amur Mechol Makom Hein HaIlmin Shein Shomin VeEin Midabrim. So whenever we say deaf, the stam in halacha of deaf is what? Someone who doesn't hear, or exactly right, is a deaf mute. Aval misha midaber ve'en ha-shomea, o shomea ve'en ha-midaber, harei u'kachol adam. But if someone speaks and doesn't hear, or hears and doesn't speak, he's like anybody else. Ve'ish ve'isha she'en shleimin b'da'atan, ve'en lo chershin ve'lo shotin, nikren pikech u'pikachat. And a man or a woman who are complete with their da'at, they're not deaf, they're not... Shote is a very hard word to translate. So, shote. Okay, I'm going to call it a shote. Someone who lacks full mental capacity. So the non-shote is a pikeach. Yes, right, meaning someone who is full mental capacity is known as a pikeach. Well, yeah, but cheresh, the assumption is that it's right. The reason that someone who's deaf or deaf mute isn't a baldat is because they lack full mental capacity. Yes, exactly, right. Now, it's important to note, just on a technical thing, as Rabbi Rabinovich points out here, that this is not a claim about the Hebrew language, that the word cheresh means deaf mute. It doesn't. It's that in rabbinic Hebrew, cheresh is used to mean deaf mute, but he proves conclusively that this is not the case Right, but he notes this is not the case in Tanakh. Right, so he's not making this up, right? He's quoting this from other places, right? From the Mishnah on Chagiga. This is what he says, right? You look at the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lamed Chet says, Va'ani kecheresh lo eshma, uch'ilem lo yiftach biv, and I'm like a deaf person who doesn't hear. And in Elaim, a mute person who doesn't open his mouth. So in biblical Hebrew, cheresh actually probably means can't hear. But rabbinically, the word is used to mean a deaf mute. Now, Rabinovich notes that there's something very surprising here. Is the Rambam could have just said, Aval misha midaber veino shomea, o shomea veino midaber, harehi, harehu kachol ish v'isha shein shleimin b'da'atan. Right? But he doesn't, right? What does he do, right? Notice what the Rambam does, which is a very strange division. He says, misha mid, he divides it, right? He could have just made one statement, which is, if someone is in a deaf mute, then they are pikeach, right? Or they're like everybody, but instead he divides it and he says, someone who's not a deaf mute, either because he's not deaf or he's not mute, then he's kechol adam, and then if someone isn't deaf, right, if they're shleim b'da'atan, and they're not a cheresh, and they're not a shota, then they're a pikeach. Right? It's two clauses the Rambam makes, which is not obvious. So Rabinovich claims in the Nirei Lefi Nidati Shadavar Gadol Ba'al Hashmeinu Bekach Shagadav Harei Kuchol Adam B'Mishorim Shonim Banachal Yesh Trisha B'Sisit Shadam Ba'al Chulyor Ba'al Chavot Yeh Davka Pikach Danu Lo Chereish Eino Medaber Shomei Aveinu Medaber V'lo Shadavav Lo Katan Bram Dirisha Zu Hi T'nai Echerichi Avo Lo T'nai Maspik Chol Adinim B'Nosim Shonim Yeshan Drishot Nesafot. He said what it must be is that pikeach isn't sufficient. It's a necessary, but not sufficient quality for all areas of halacha. That in some areas of halacha, pikeach is enough. But kechol adam is a higher level. So where does he get that notion? So he's lamashal. their pikach. Right, so he says, other way around. Right, he says, L'mashal, v'chol adam yish mikir v'chazrich ladon adato shleim amas pikach l'inim esum yamim lav. Kegon, katan shikdil vevi yazach ashtay sarot, ach ashlosh zay, mekol mekach, mekol memkor, madon matam avataltlin, So, for example, the Rambam says in Hilchot Mechira that a katan, once he's 13 years old and stays tarot, so he can sell mitaltlin. But by karka, he's not allowed to, even though he's bar mitzvah, until you know that he knows how to do business. He understands business. And when is that? That's by his karka. But he inherited. You can't sell until he's 20. Avavi shehavi shesar v'yodeh b'tiv maso maton shema yimkor b'zol m'vnei shadato noteh achar hama'od v'adayin lo nityashva d'ato b'darkei olam. Because between 13 and 20, you guys, right? You just want money, right? You're not yet yishadva d'ato m'ains and by edut as well. He says Seven's 13 years old, but he doesn't understand business. Ain eduto edut bikarkaot. Then by land, he can't be an aid. Because he can't be careful because he doesn't understand. So he says, what you see is that sometimes you need higher levels of dot, even beyond being a bar dot. So he says, v'inehu adin v'atam l'mishin ha-shomea aval mid-daver. And therefore he says, it could be what the Rambam saying is, let's say someone speaks but doesn't hear. So now he suggests, so maybe such a person's a baldat, but maybe by kinyanim, where we already see that bar mitzvah is not enough, that the basic level of bardat is not enough, maybe he, right, he also will be swayed by money. And maybe someone who's deaf, but a mute, he won't be able to express himself. And in fact, he says, he's not just speculating. He says, "Arei kach pasak." That's what the Rambam says in Hilchot Mechira Perachavtet, that midaber veino shomeach klum, that if someone speaks but doesn't hear, mocher lekech hametaltlum ol karka. I didn't make it up. That's the Rambam Shita. V'af mitaltlum lo yikam ha-masavat shebot kino do b'dikot rabot. And even by karka, by Metaltlin, his kinyan doesn't work unless you check and you investigate and make sure that he understands it. So he says, someone who's not a deaf mute is like kol adam. He's not a pikeach. Right? So he's like someone who's a bar mitzvah. Right? He's kol adam. What is kol adam? The default is you're a bar dat. But if I have reason to believe that you don't understand the higher level of, you know, precision that's necessary for whatever you're involved in, then you're not. Because there's not a default pikach. You're a default bardat, but not the higher level. And that's why he says the Rambam, in fact, treats such a person like a kid between, or a young adult between 13 and 20, where he's a bardat, and yet there are certain areas where there's a higher level of da'at, a higher level of... Exactly, right. Kshirim kol adam is kol adam means you're an adult. You're held responsible for your actions, right? But a pikeach is someone who's incisive, right? Who understands, that might be a higher level. But he says that since the Rambam actually holds this way, and in fact... Right. Once you know the Rambam holds this way, and you see that the Rambam here divides Kol Adam from Pikeach, he suggests that that's what he's saying, is that there's a status called Kol Adam, which means you've reached like the basic bare minimum to make you a Bardat. But Pikeach is that status which implies something more. Right? He notes that there are other things like this. Sometimes not just about Dat. So like davening for the Amud, right? Really, where the Halacha... ideally, the Rambam says that Mishal mit malei zikno, if you don't have a beard, avishu chacham gadol, even if you're chacham lo yesh leich tzibor, right? There are other areas of halacha where just because someone is an adult and technically can fulfill it, we have higher, right? And he says, so what does kol adam mean? Kol adam means that you are capable of being legally recognized as an adult, but just like other people who might be adults are sometimes subject to investigation to figure out whether they're actually knowledgeable enough, the same thing is true here. Whereas a pikeach, right? Pikeach is a much higher, a much higher status. Okay, now obviously, look, shota, as I said, is a very, very hard term to define. It's very, very hard to define. It's very complicated to get in Shas. And it's also not clear how many of those sugyot are, like when the Gemara gives examples, are those, the way the Rambam understands it, is those are examples of people who seem to be with it. Right? The Gemara lists different things that make someone a shota, like he, you know, walks around naked, or he, you know, or he sleeps in the cemetery and things like that. The Rambam understands dafka, that those things are not criteria, the basic criteria for shota. Those are the criteria for someone who otherwise seems normal. And then the Gemara says, okay, but sometimes people seem normal, but they're not. But he said, if someone is a peti gamur, if someone is clearly, like, you look at it and you have no shaila, the person does not have mental capacity, then you don't need to start figuring out these criteria. So the dafka, the criteria of the Gemara are not the necessary clauses. They're saying that they're sufficient. Right? That even someone who otherwise, so shota is very, very complicated, and obviously it's sort of a rule of thumb, right? It's, you know, like nowadays, you know, how many people are doing that or sleeping, you know, like, you know, so the post can really try to figure out what does that mean, bizman hazeh. I mean, a good, like, I don't know what it was, but a large percentage of Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig's book on mental health and halacha, which is, you know, very significant achievement, is about the definition of shota and peti, and how you sort of integrate that with the ways that we assess mental capacity nowadays, and, you know, definitions that we get from the DSM and things like that. Right, so it, I'm not just like punting. It really is extremely. You can do what you need to do. So that's right. That's the problem, right? Is like the Rambam's category of peti gamur is might be easier, right? Like where you can see someone has no mental capacity, but there are all types of things that are very hard, like schizophrenia and things like that. It's very hard to define, right? Because the person fundamentally functions. They're just often hallucinating, but not necessarily all the time, right? Or manic, right? If someone's manic, right? So, you know, manic people who are manic, right, swing back and forth. Like, they're aware of what they're doing, but they can go from, you know, and like, and you know, how, you know, being on lithium, how does that affect it, right? I mean, all these things are very, very complicated, right? That's why so much work has been done on it. Well, but that's the question: is do you not? Correct, but remember, like what? But if someone is having a bar mitzvah, right? At what point do you say, right? So they can't daven for them, they can't lane, right? Meaning, but you don't. There is this fine dance, because the intuition is on the one hand, you don't want to hold them responsible for everything that they do if they can't be held responsible. On the other hand, you don't want to then run to say, well, they're not a bar at all, because they're not chayvin mitzvah either. Right? I mean, if you remember at the funeral, right? Right? Ginsburg talks about it a little bit, like how they determined that his brother could lane, or whatever, or say the brachot and after, right? These things are difficult how you do it. Now, deafness.
In order to be like a shota, you have to have like a significant like lack of
deafness. To be a peti gamur. So to be a peti gamur, yes, right? But it's the other ones that are much more complicated to define. Again, I mean, if you want to, if I remember, I can bring in the book. You can see, but like. Yeah. And it's like in complicated, you know, formal, you know, Hebrew.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something I'm
going to say. It was supposed to be translated, but, he said at some point it was translated, but lo yodea. What I would do is when Rabbi Buchler comes in, I would ask him, because, I don't He's been really. No, he's not. Okay. I don't know. But you can ask him because he did. Yoni Rosenzweig has been running a training course for rabbis, right, to train them in mental health and halacha. So he went through one of them. Like, he has a certification from it. So he, he may, have things more prepared. Now, Chirish is also a big deal, right? Chirish is obviously a big deal. Now, one of the things that really has changed, right? What's the thing that's really, really changed in when it comes to deafness? Is nowadays we have a much more, right? Meaning, is it really about speech or is it about communication, right? Is it that there was an assumption that people's dot was lacking, or that in a world where they didn't have, advanced whatever, sign language and the like, they couldn't communicate, so they didn't develop. What is going on? Okay, there's a door there, right? Right, and obviously things have really, really changed. Right, so things have really, really changed. And that's why the post-skim starting, a few hundred years ago started to really ask, like, is it the case that deafness nowadays is the same? If you want like a very good summary of it, so in the second volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, right, Bleich wrote an excellent article just summarizing the main positions, right, where this was really asked first by Rav Avram Shmuel Binyamin Sofer, the Ketav Sofer, whose son, Simcha Bunim Sofer, went to Vienna. It reports that when he was in Vienna, his father was invited to the Vienna Institute for the Deaf and Dumb. And he was shocked, right? I'll read you from my Bleich, right? Sofer was greatly astonished at the accomplishment of the pupils he observed and remarked that he was in doubt as to whether the exclusion of deaf mutes from halachic responsibility was applicable to persons who had been trained in such a matter. And Shevet Sofer further reports that he thinks his father told him that he had requested the students of the institute be provided with fill-in for regular use, which implies that he would imply that they are chayev in mitzvah. Well, yeah. And Rav Yaakov Chagiz implies this, Rav Herzog, it goes this way, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Chaim Ben Michael Scheinberg. Now, a lot of them feel like there's an intuition that that's true. The deaf mute is really unable to communicate and therefore develop mentally, which means that someone who does develop mentally because they speak sign language and like would not be. So the in the Tshuva Tzemach Tzedek, the of Rav Menachem Mendel Krochmal, not the Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, right? He held not this way, right? He held that even people who were fully, mentally capable, it's a formal status, cherish. That was the Tzemach Tzedek. And Rabbi Bleich quotes the Prim Gadim seem to hold that way. The Rechayim, Amaram Shik, Maram Sham, Beit Shlomo. Whereas many others argue that this isn't the case, right? Because many people assume that the Rambam held this. That the Rambam held the opposite. What? Meaning that the Rambam would hold that it's not Gzeirat HaKatuv. Exactly, right? And they're medayik this from the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot. Not our Rambam here, but the Rambam in Perush Mishnayot. All right, because the Rambam in Perush Mishnayot, Cherish Hamidaber Veinu Shomea Lo Yitrom, right, on the Yisr for him to give Truma, he says, Lefi shesibat ha'almut hicher shurt shivka ba'yelev fine. V'da she'im nitcharesha adam acharesha yishomeo nelam acharesha medam reze lo yitrom. So he says, right? Right, he says, right, they're medayik, and in fact, the Rambam makes it sound more like it's, you know, it's because they lack dot, right? That's really what they try to argue. And some say it's a suffix, right? Primogadim seems to say it's a suffix. Whether it's formal or it's,
we just don't know whether it's not suffix whether they have
dot. No, it's suffix whether it's formal, right, or not. Right? And then there is, you know, like there's similar machloket about, you know, what if people have right, what if someone learns how to speak somewhat? Right, you know how like some deaf people sort of speak, right? Even if they don't hear, right? They can sort of, right, based on lip reading, they can make out some sort of sound. Is that enough, right? Even if you, right, but if you combine it, right? You know, if you combine that, right? And this is, right, and some people note, right, that if you have at least, you know, a minimal amount of hearing or talking combined with intelligence, right, that you wouldn't be a cheresh, right? So this is, you know, again, this is a very important machloket lahalacha. Yeah, yeah. Well, you could say that there's a formal component and a non-formal component, right? You could say that the formal component requires him to be able to hear or speak a little bit. But then there's the dot component, right? Okay. So again, both of these are huge, huge, huge topics. Maybe we should just finish out the parak here, though. Nimtu. Kala shemot shemarna and yanam b'shnei prakim elu. So all these terms. Esrim shemot. Right? There were 20 terms that we used in these two prakim. Ve'elohen, kiddushin, erva, shnia, right? So kiddushin, which we talked about, is the first stage of marriage. Erva, or anyone you're forbidden to, shnia is a erva derabanan, isuri lavin, are those who you only have a, right, you only get malkut, but kiddushin is chal, isuri aseh, there's mitzvah aseh, ketana, nara, bogeret, ailunit, gdola, sementachtam, semenelion, katan, sveschama, sveshadam, gadol, androgynous, tumtum, chershem, pikchem. Sim kol Hashem reilo l'umatcha tamid. Have these terms in front of you at all times. Val yaluzu meinecha kol inyanehem. And may they not. Don't forget their meaning. Kedesh loni etzvichin levayer inyan. Kol sheim mehem v'chol makom shizkaratok. I don't want to have to explain myself every single time.
The Rambam doesn't usually do
this. He does it every so often. He does it every so often. What? Right. Well, I mean, this wasn't this parak. Isuri lav of. Yeah, no, but he did mention these prakim, right? Isuri lav of marriage. No, it's ill. But remember, he spent all this time here in Ishud on it. But yes, right, the Rambam here, very interestingly, is, what? Yad Pshuta argues the reason he did this was for copyists to make sure they didn't miss anything. Right, that when they're copying their Rambam, right, it's very, right, just very, very, very practical, right? You want to make sure now it is funny though. He also notes that even in the Rambam's, very pragmatic, like list, don't forget, so I don't have to repeat myself. Even there, he gets biblical on you. Right. Well, he doesn't quote it. He alludes to it. Right. What is he alluding to? Yeah, exactly. Right. Which is right? Okay, but yeah, right. The pasuk there says, "Bini al yaluzu meinecha yitzora tushia mizima." My son, do not lose sight of them. Hold on to resourcefulness and foresight. Now, it is sort of funny that the Rambam, even when he's simply telling you, "Listen, I've organized everything for you, and I don't want you to forget because I don't have to repeat myself," he still gets biblical on you, which is, you know, it's important to hold basic, you know, knowledge, basic term, basic one in your head, so that we can.
The other examples of when he has like a product with a lot of important terms and like a lot of information like that. What causes him to do that specifically here? And, like what are the other situations in which the Rambam has halacha like this?
Yeah, I mean, the Rambam does this. Again, how often he does it? He does it, I don't know if it's the most often, but he definitely does it. One second. Yeah.
Would you like to lead the congregation in the afternoon?